Our gospel reading this morning comes from Mark, the 12th chapter, and it is in your pew Bibles on page number 48, if you'd like to follow along. 48 of the New Testament there. Our gospel comes from Mark, chapter 12. Listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church today. As Jesus taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and, for the sake of appearance, say long prayers. They will receive greater condemnation." Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. And then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." This is the gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. O God, that you would take notice of us, that you are mindful of us, that you see us, that you seek to break in and find a way for us to be gathered in your embrace. For this we give thanks. Break open our hearts this day to hear a new and inviting word of grace and hope. We pray in the name of Jesus, the living Christ. Amen. Friends, grace and peace to you from God our Creator and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I do want to say what a gift it is, and thank you to Barlow and to you, Lakewood Presbyterian Church, for your welcome here this morning. I'm so excited to be with you today, and many thanks to you and your generous hospitality to me. I want to invite you to imagine, if you will, with me for a moment, something in your mind's eye, however you are comfortable doing that. I don't think it will be hard because I'm quite certain you have all seen it, perhaps even this morning on your way to church, on your drive in here, or perhaps just this week several times. Imagine that you're in the car driving out of the grocery store or just getting off the exit ramp coming home from work, and a man or a woman standing there with their sign asking for money. The sign might be simple, or it could be one of those that are really creative, that captures your attention in a new way or even makes you smile. Now, if you could stay there for a minute with me, this time I want you to glance over and see the sign that reads, "Take what you need. Take money from this cup or what possessions you need from my basket. I am here to share." I would take notice of that sign, wouldn't you? I would be surprised by that sign. I would notice, and I would certainly find that it would subvert my attention and expectations and challenge my assumptions that I am the one that has something to offer, or that I am the one who holds the power. I would look twice, if not three times, at that sign. In fact, I might even be tempted to get out of my car and go over and have a conversation with the one holding that sign. Our gospel text today is one that many of you have no doubt heard before if you've been around the church at all. In fact, it is the story we've held up for years, haven't we? On stewardship campaign signs everywhere, the widow's mite poster child for come and give like her. If she can do it, you can. We do that, don't we? This temple scene in Mark describes us, for us, this scene in Jerusalem. It was the center of wealth and power and glory. It was Herod's palace, after all. The temple was hustling with celebrity, power, and glory. It was Herod's place. All of the scribes were there, all with their fancy robes, the elite, those religious professionals who, while they did not have money, they did have status. And when these clothes walk into the room, people are watching them, and they knew it. Heads turn and talk stops because so-and-so has walked in. We know it all too well, do we not? Those we both envy and we admire. We're all prone to it, drawn into the celebrity of it all. In fact, just this week, think about the stories that we have heard and we've talked about as we see thousands of homes being burned in the California wildfires. Who are we talking about at yoga class or on the TV talk shows? While thousands have lost their homes and their lives, we're not talking about the widow who lost her 1,000-square-foot home and everything she ever owned, including her pets. No, we're making and talking about Miley Cyrus and the Kardashians who lost their second or third homes. It's become socially acceptable or respected to do so, which is perhaps why this week my eyes went straight to what Jesus was noticing. Jesus was sitting and he was watching this temple scene that day, but he was not watching what everyone else was watching. Jesus notices this woman. He sees these two small copper coins make their way into the treasury, her fist unfurling to let them go, the very last of what she had. But did you also notice something else? He doesn't praise the widow for her actions. He just remarks on them. Now, scholars fall all over the place when talking about what Jesus might have been doing here. Could he have been critiquing the temple for profiting from the poor and proclaiming an indictment on the religious system that results in a poor widow giving all that she had so that system's leaders could continue in their lives of wealth? Or could he have been praising our more traditional stewardship tale of the woman giving everything she had, so why don't we? We may not know the answer to that, and we may not ever, but what we do know is that Jesus notices her, so much so that he calls his disciples over to notice her too. Did that stick out for you like it did for me? This woman is where a lot of women end up, sandwiched between self-aggrandizement and the attraction of the grand, between violence and power, between being overlooked and being overlooked. This woman is at her end, and as her hands unfurl to drop the last two coins in the pot, it's just where too many assume she would be. Of course, that's where we'd like to keep her, lest we might end up like her. This story does tell a bit of a truth about all of us in some way. We are all very good at ignoring the widow. Some scholars may always have these differing views about on whether the widow's actions were good or bad. But what I see happening here is Jesus taking notice of her. He simply calls the disciples over to notice her too. Notice what she is doing and what everyone else is doing. Notice the disparity. Notice she is not propelled by fear of scarcity. Notice the difference between apparent sacrifice and the real thing. Notice that major characters are minor givers, and this minor character, well, she is not. In fact, this is Jesus' last act of public ministry. He will leave this temple, and in 4 days he will be dead. There is something to notice about his noticing. His last act was noticing one who goes unnoticed. Barbara Brown Taylor, one of my favorite authors, points out, "If you ask me, that is why he noticed the poor widow in the first place. She reminded him of someone. It was the end in some way for her. It was the end for him too. She gave her living to a corrupt church. He was about to give his life for a corrupt world. She withheld nothing from God, and neither did he. It took one to know one. Stop and look at her. She's the one to watch. Of all of the people in the room that day, she is the one to watch. Why? Because perhaps she, like most of the widows I know, even today, she is the backbone of the church. Because she knew who she was and how she wanted to live. Because she had lived a life of generosity and believed in contributing faithfully to her faith community. Because she had a radical trust in God for her well-being. What does it mean for us to see and to be seen? What does it mean for us to notice the kingdom breaking in when all else seems lost or corrupt? I don't know about you, but I needed that message this week. I need a gospel message of hope that points my eyes into the direction of what I need to be seeing, noticing, where I need to place my hope. I need to hear a message that I am seen by Christ even at the end of my rope when all else seems to be lost. And I need, as a disciple of the living Christ, to see that Christ sees and to pay attention to the kingdom that is breaking in the world around me, to notice. A couple weeks ago, you will remember, it was Reformation Sunday, and in this case, it was the Sunday following the shooting in Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh. That one hit me really hard. I came to worship feeling beat up and vulnerable, seeking desperately to see God somehow break into this darkness that was surrounding our country and our communities. And there in the front row, I noticed a beloved member of St. Mark's who had been a professor of mine at PLU and so many others, and a beloved teacher in our worshiping community who had been so sick for the last few months that he was not able to be at worship. I'll call him Bob. Bob used to sit with his wife every Sunday morning in the second row in the middle of the sanctuary. Every Sunday during communion, which is done by intinction, Bob had a habit of shaking the hands of the folks he knew or giving them a hug on their way back to their pew after communion. Now, Bob has had to move to a nursing home and hasn't been able to be in worship for several months. But on this Reformation Sunday, someone made sure Bob was in church. On this Reformation Sunday, Bob sat in his pew, unable to go forward for communion, but his arm was outstretched, shaking the hand or hugging every single person who came back from communion that day. One would go by, and then he would just leave his hand out for the next one. You saw as people began to notice this, and pretty soon they couldn't wait to get to Bob and walk by to shake his hand. It didn't matter whether they knew him or not that day. It just happened. I needed to notice that on that day. I needed to notice the kingdom breaking in into systems of norms, breaking molds and habits. I needed to witness the blind seeing and the stranger being noticed. Of all of the people in the room that day, he was the one to watch. Our gospel text this morning is one of those that I so wish that I could have been there and asked Jesus to tell the woman that he saw her. Tell her, Jesus. Tell her that you notice her, that through the sea of conflicting messages, corruption, and misguided, frail human beings, you saw her. But the good news is, the power of the story and Jesus seeing this woman may not have made it to her, but it made its way down through the generations to you and to me. So I hope that you can see the gospel message breaking into your time and into your place. I hope that you can see that we follow a Savior who, much like this woman, gave all that he had to give. He did not cling to or look to the powerful. He resisted the path of glory and status, and even in his last act of public ministry, stopped to notice. Notice the likes of those whom the world cannot see. He noticed the likes of you, and he noticed the likes of me. And because of him, we are freed to live and to see. We are free to live generously. This is the good news of the gospel. Thanks be to God. Amen.